Hi, everybody. I'm Sunny, and this is We Gotta Talk, a live weekly digital talk show and podcast where we like to dig deep. Real talk, big topics. Now, let's dig in. Welcome back to We Gotta Talk, everybody. A solo episode today talking about what is happening in the world and in the news and just a little bit of life catch up. So welcome back. Okay. Question number one on the docket today. Did we all get it wrong with Kate Middleton? So I had an interesting interaction on Instagram the other day that gave me pause and a reason to reflect on how we collectively behaved when it came to theorizing about what was going on with Princess Kate. Now, number one, guilty as charged. I was following some of the accounts and keeping up with what now appear to be more absurd conspiracy theories than ever. Like now I look back and I'm like, guilty, right? I, like many of you likely, consumed media during the period of time where she was quote unquote missing with rabid interest, not out of some sort of treating this as sort of a spectacle or a play acting scenario. I mean, like I know that real lives and feelings are at stake, but it's very human to be curious about someone with such a high profile who goes off the radar for a period of time. But I do think, as a friend recently messaged me, an Instagram friend recently messaged me on social media to sort of bring to light that it should make us think twice on how we publicly comment on people. Now, yes, guilty as charged for following the conspiracy accounts, for getting into conversations that entertained these wild theories and almost for a second being like, huh, could it be? Let's be honest, crazy things have happened in the royal family for literal millennia. So entertaining the possible idea of one of the other, I won't even specify what the theories were, but one of the other theories that were out there, it's actually not that crazy or that out of the box. But with the benefit of hindsight, you do realize, damn, that would actually be pretty painful if I were the human on the other end of that speculation. So I'm grateful for this conversation that I had on Instagram recently, which made me just sort of stop and pause and check myself. I think it's an important reminder for all of us that humans exist on the other side of whatever media you're holding in your hand. Are you on your smartphone? Are you on social media? Are you talking to someone on direct message or leaving a comment? There is a soul on the other end of their own machine that's reading those comments and that is ingesting that and energetically feeling the impact of your words. And I know that for one, this will cause me to pause before I speak. Now, I do think it's important to throw in there that while this is a check for all of us on how we comment on other people's private lives, there is an element to most of these figures who are public figures that entitles the public to a level of interest and a level of concern. And assuming that concern is genuine and the feelings reflected back are positive and healing vibes, I think it's okay to get on and say whatever social media you choose and say, listen, this is what's happening. Here's my sort of positive feedback or what I'm feeding back into it that's only on the positive side, and leave it at that and go. I think it's a little sort of disingenuous to suggest that we should never comment or we should never have an opinion or share said opinion about political or public figures in any way. That being said, I understand that British people in particular have a relationship. What's the word I'm looking for? That not distant relationship, like the relationship that they perceive that they have with their public figures that we as Americans just probably don't understand. If anything, we're trying to bring down our political leaders all the time. There's no reverence or respect in America, a country born of revolution. But the British people have some tact and kindness perhaps left in them. And I can understand why any media speculation could be perceived as an attack. But anyway, coming out of this thinking that it'll cause me at least to pause and box up, package up my feelings in a way moving forward that takes into account what I just said, that there's a person on the other end of that. All of that being said, I am just, I'm sure as you are, sending nothing but the very most positive and healing energy and vibes toward Princess Kate and her family. I can't imagine, actually. I live in a constant state of medical anxiety. I'm working on it. It's a thing. It's a very real thing. So I can't imagine how that would feel as a woman with children of the same age and an entire life ahead of her. And with friends, frankly, going through eerily similar circumstances. I actually can't imagine. And I actually have people, multiple people in my life who are living that reality. So guys, I was caught up in the whirlwind just as much as you. I just think it's just an important reminder for us to understand that on the other end of all of the crazy stuff that we do to interact online every day, there's a human. We send her good vibes. We send her love. We move on. I want to share with you a little bit quickly too about our Disney cruise. So we just got back onto land. I don't know, 3 days ago? What is today? 4 days ago now. And I put together a whole blog post. You can go and read it. I'll link it in show notes about things you should know before you go on a Disney cruise. I want to share some of them with you here. Even if you're not a cruiser, this was my first cruise ever. I did go on one night on a cruise slash cargo ship. That makes it sound like I was some sort of like a pirate, like a cargo ship. I wasn't working on the high seas, but I did. I've only been on a cruise sized ship one time before. And that was the kind where you like drove a car onto and then you floated. I'm clearly an expert when it comes to nautical things. We just spent one night on the boat is what I'm trying to say. And that one experience alone was pretty awful. I got kind of sick. It was a whole thing. I was 14 years old. So, you know, and on a trip on my own in Europe. Side note, I look back on the things that I did as a literal child alone, literally across the world. And I am so disappointed in my level of faith in my own children. I don't let them get the mail at the end of our street alone. I mean, I guess maybe now I would with my son. But anyway, I was 14 years old. And I traveled on my own to Europe. My mom said, you know what, girl, here's your ticket. Have fun. You're traveling with your 14-year-old friend, your 14-year-old Norwegian friend. Shout out Marianne. Love her. To this day, we stay in touch. But I was on the cruise ship and I had a hard time with my son going four floors up on his own to the kids' club. And I was flying to Norway, hopping on a cargo ship like a pirate, swabbing the poop deck to get to another country, to Germany, and then take a road trip with Marianne's family through Germany and Switzerland and Italy down to the south of France. This sounds so bougie. This deviated wildly, by the way, from my normal summer vacations going to the Wildwood Crest with my family. Those were our vacations. And I am saying that with no trace of irony. The best family vacation you'll ever go on. And to this day, would bring my kids to Wildwood Crest, probably just with just as much excitement as I would fly them back to Italy. It was just that good of a place. That's for a separate podcast. But I'm recounting this story to you, thinking about the last time I was on a ship. And I'm like, holy shit. I mean, my parents just really let me go wild. I went back to Europe as a 16-year-old, made my own money, bought my own plane ticket. I mean, there were no handouts being given in the Abada household. We earned what we wanted to do, went back as a 16-year-old to Paris, and we stayed in an apartment, Marianne and I alone in an apartment during the World Cup, no less. This was 1996. I think France won the World Cup that summer. There were people climbing on light poles to watch the game being played on a huge projector in the middle of, I don't know what neighborhood it was in Paris, but it was crawling with millions of people. And there I was alone with my 16-year-old Norwegian friend just cruising the streets, hopped on the back of Laurent's motorbike. I remember his name, as in Yves Saint Laurent. My friend's French pronunciation is not ideal, but you get the idea. I was just doing stuff that now I look back on and I think, God, how stupid. I was living the literal beginning plot lines of Taken, like Taken Part Zero, before Taken was a thing, before Liam Neeson had to go back and get his daughter. I was living that. Like, what if Laurent had decided to veer into another arrondissement and just take me hostage? Who would have known? We didn't have cell phone. I didn't even have a cell phone to check in with my mother. What world am I living in now that I can't let my kids get the mail? Anyway, that's for a separate point being, I hadn't been on a ship in almost 30 years. So here's what I want you to know about a Disney cruise. Number one, the seasick stuff, really not a thing, at least for me. Don't worry about it. Number two, it's just bonkers for kids. 10 out of 10. We did a little informal survey afterward. My kids are 11, 9, and 6. All of them gave it a 10 out of 10 rating. The kids club is fun. You take a little slide down for the little ones. Anyone 11 and above goes to Edge. It's this like video game hub kind of older kid hangout. They have a basketball court. They have foosball tables, ping pong tables, a water slide. I mean, like they have everything, a spa. You know I got away from it, a therapeutic massage. You know I did. The bad neck is not good to live with, but the bad neck is good for a massage on trips. So I'm not saying it was an excuse. My neck was flaring up. I did need a little hands-on attention. And I did leave the kids with my in-laws who were so gracious to take them for a few hours while mom got her neck worked on in the Senses spa for a couple of hours, which was, by the way, really great. Do it for the kids, because what I'm about to tell you with number three means it's not as fun for the adults. Okay, so Disney Cruises adult thoughts and findings. Fun, I'd say still 8 out of 10. I'm giving everything a numerical rating, but you need to mentally prepare for the lines. Unless you're doing concierge level and you have access to your own breakfast area, you need to put on your hockey pads for the breakfast buffet, because Johnny from Nebraska will be elbowing you to get to the French toast sticks before you do. There will be some sort of confrontation at the soda fountain. There will be bodily contact as people try to desperately scavenge their breakfast food from the buffet. There's going to be lines for characters. There's going to be lines for bingo, which, by the way, is surprisingly fun. Prepare and build in time to wait for things. Did I love that part of it? No. Is it a little snobby of me? Maybe. I don't really care. But the lines are a thing, and you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait to disembark, to get off to wherever you decide to go for that day. In Nassau, we chose to go to Bahamar. There was also a group of people who went to Atlantis. You can stay on the ship, but you know, getting off the boat, you got to bring your ID. You got to wait in line. You got to wait for the bus. You got to wait to get there. You got to make sure. It's just a lot of hurry up and wait. So just know that. I wish I knew that going in. It is not a deal breaker by any means, but there are some inevitable sort of just pauses in activity. There's going to be a line every time you go to check in for dinner. You know, they do these mass seatings. We did a 5:45 dinner seating every night with our whole family. And you wait. It's not a big deal. It's not the worst. The staff is incredible. Shout out to Glenn, our waiter who did magic tricks for the kids, who knew everyone's name. Bless him. They send the same service staff with you, restaurant server with you to all of your restaurant reservations, no matter where they are through the duration of your trip. So how cute is that? Glenn got to know all the kids. Oh, and one other thing, travel with cousins or family or friends if you can. We found that the kids did so much better when they were able to go to the kids club with not just a sibling, but with other people too. Like the more the merrier kind of thing. So yeah, do that, know that. I'll put the link in show notes to the blog post I did, which will give you all of the information you need, including like the best way and quickest way to get off the ship, because 4 days at sea is enough. She is a landlubber. I do not have the sea legs. I have no desire to ever spend more than a cruise length of time on any body of water ever. In fact, I'm a hard sell for like a fishing excursion when I'm on vacation. The older I get, the more I realize I just want to be locked on the land, preferably not an island either, preferably a land, a mass of land that has access to, within several hours of a flight or drive, different climates, different food. I have an apocalyptic mindset, and this is what I want you to know about me, and I'm curious if this is any of you. The apocalyptic mindset means this: for any appreciable length of time, which is for me anything over 24 hours, I will experience some serious anxiety if I am not within driving access, walking access, like reasonable access of multiple sources of water and food, and knowing that I can easily drive to a place where my family and I could hunker down should the end of the world commence. There is no day that passes where I don't sit in my backyard when Romeo is out doing his thing and gaze at the body of water behind our house. We have like a little lake slash canal thing, and think, how long could the entire neighborhood fish that fresh body of water and have food to eat before we all went crazy and started to cannibalize each other? You got to have the apocalyptic mindset these days, because we don't know when whoever's in charge is going to flip the switch, you know, the power bump that's going to happen. We lose access to our phones for 2 days and we lose our minds. Have you ever been in Florida when a hurricane comes through and people don't have access to air, like air conditioning, not even a necessity to live? Like, people have gone by for millennia without air conditioning. Think about it. Try hanging out in Florida when the air conditioning is knocked out for even 4 hours. It is bonkers. People lose it quickly. They go crazy very quickly. Thus, the apocalyptic mindset. You have to know that wherever you are or you're going to be for any extended period of time, you got to be able to drive to like a nearby wooded area so you can hunt and kill your own food. Do I know how to do that? No. Does Andrew? I don't think so. But I'd like to think we have the social skills that would bring us sort of into some kind of a Lord of the Flies style, like social support arrangement where we could provide some trade in turn for the person who would be the hunter. That's another thing I think about. Look at your neighbors. I'm thinking, okay, who's the hunter? Who's the gatherer? Who's the one that's good with the compass and the map? We don't even have a map, but you know, who has that sense of true north that could lead us out of where we are, where people are starting to cannibalize each other, and up north to the great woods of Georgia, where we can take shelter for a couple of weeks? You got to be on your game all the time. You got to always have the apocalyptic mindset. So that's why this girl does not like to be at sea for any length of time. I did also entertain the idea, though, for a while about how long we could survive with the current food supply on the Disney Wish before we had to start jumping ship and swimming to shore. I don't even know if that's possible. Anyway, I don't know. How did we get down this rabbit hole? All of that to say, getting on a cruise ship was a big thing for me mentally. It's living in this mind is a real trap sometimes. It was a big thing for me mentally because getting away from my little safety net of land and all of my possible survival options was a big deal, but it was worth it. And if you want to read more, the blog post is up. It's great. It's fun. We had a great time. I would suggest this trip for any families, especially with young kids. We got a couple of years of magic left where they're still embodying that, like, you know, where they believe in things or where they remember the songs from all the movies they watched when they were young and were like on the very, very end of that Disney magic. So yeah, all around a great trip. While we're on the topic of traveling, I want to regale you with a story that will hopefully be not only just a great opportunity to embarrass myself, but also a reminder to you to just keep your head on a swivel. As you may have seen on Instagram a while back, I went to Pittsburgh recently. I went to my homeland for a quick taping of sorts. I went back to the bakery where I did all the details on Instagram, but basically my papa was a baker at this amazing Italian bakery called Mancini's. And they do this thing called the twist where they teach you how to make this twist. It's a loaf of bread. It's their signature bread that they sell at Mancini's. And they said, come back. We'll talk about your family story. We'll talk about the bakery. I worked in Pittsburgh. I mean, this is the town where my family was literally born, the small little town outside of Pittsburgh. I said, of course, I'm going to come in. I go in. It's great. It's wonderful. You can check out the video on Instagram. On my way back, I had probably the worst travel experience. I mean, short of the time that I thought our American Airlines plane was literally going to fall out of the sky, some sort of like big bump feeling on board a couple of years ago. This ranks in the top three. And this is a reminder to, I don't know, not be an old person like me and fall for tricks. So the Southwest flight on the way back from Pittsburgh is supposed to return 10:50, it gets pushed to 5 o'clock. I adjust. I'm with my aunt and uncle. I'm begging for a place to stay because when you go back to Pittsburgh in March, I mean, none of my immediate family is living there right now. I have nowhere to stay. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll hop over to an aunt and uncle's house for a night. Get all ready in the morning, strip the sheets, try to be like a responsible house guest to get the room all cleaned up, only to leave the house and find out it's delayed. Fine. We deal with that. Push back to 5, push back up to 1, push back to 4:40 p.m., push back to 5:40 again, and then canceled. So what is that? So it's 5 changes in one day. The military neck starts to flare up. The military neck is the source of all of the neck pain. And I don't know if anyone out there has stress-related pain of any way or of in any way, but it is wild, the psychosomatic connection between mind and body. When something stressful happens, and in this case, it was not knowing where I was going to sleep, toting around a suitcase in an airport for 3 hours, begging for a place to stay, and doing so in just awful, disgusting, rainy Pittsburgh weather, I got a little seized up. Sit down in an airport chair, call my friend, beg her to stay. Flight got canceled. Please let me, whatever. I spend a night in her house, gracious enough to give me a place to sleep. We wake up the next morning. I'm on my way to go to the airport. The flight gets pushed back again. Gets pushed back from 9 to 5. So I say, you know what? False alarm. I don't have to go to the airport. You get to keep me for another 8 hours. And then they move it back to 10:30. This is a long, long, long story. The end of this is a PSA that I want you to just soak in, because if I fell for this, a lot of other people could probably fall for it too. My second flight gets canceled. So now I'm there 2 nights. I have no idea what's going to happen. I end up booking on another airline, eating like $700 in additional ticket fees because Southwest has so badly bungled this whole operation. And as a responsible human does, the last thing I do before taking off on my Allegiant flight, which thank heavens was actually on time, I hopped on Twitter like the nasty little bitch that I felt like I was being. And I just sent out a shitty tweet. I'm not above it. I'm really not above it. And I find that the best customer service happens when you just scream into the void a little bit. So I sent my crappy little tweet out to Southwest Airlines. And it wasn't that bad, but you know what? I actually think it was kind of funny. Let's see if I can find it here. I thought it was clever. I thought it was complaining without being overly desperate in my tone. Hey, Southwest Air, you delayed and or canceled my flight 8 times in a 24-hour period. Refund, credit, paying my babysitting and marriage therapy bills, you pick. I mean, guys, it's actually kind of creative now that I go back and reflect. But anyway, I immediately get a response back from South. I'm sitting there at the terminal. I'm about to board my new flight. I'm excited. I'm about to get back to my family because, as you know, if you're a mother, especially when you have uncertain travel plans and you don't know when you're getting back to your kids, maybe this is just me. I felt a level of anxiety that was just, it was too much. You know, I need to get back to my people. I need to get back to my things. As we've been over, I have the apocalyptic mindset. I'm thinking all sorts of things. Like, what if I get stuck in Pittsburgh now and I have to crawl back. I have to walk back to Florida because the entire transportation system just starts to melt down because we finally get the power attack from, you know, China. They press the button, they shut down our cell service and our power grid. Anyway, this is where my mind is going. I sent my crappy tweet out to Southwest Air and I get a response. And I'm like, you know what? I'm so good. I'm great. I'm gravy, baby. I'm interacting with them in DMs and they're like, send over your name, your flight number, and your email. And and send over your cell phone number. Cue number one, Southwest, in case you didn't realize like I didn't, they actually don't want to talk to you. When someone is asking for your phone number, it probably means it's a scam. But in the level of desperation that I was in and with the apocalyptic mindset fully like pressed into high gear, I respond and I'm like, okay, here's my number. They're like, we'll WhatsApp you. Clue number two, will an actual legitimate respectable company WhatsApp you? No, they won't, Sonny. No level of desperation can explain the stupidity of my behavior. But somehow, I mean, I'm looking in and their logo is in their little profile and, it looks like legit. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe Southwest is, maybe they really do want to talk to me. Maybe they're trying to make this good and they know that they've had some real issues with this airport in particular today. So I'm going to do it. Go back into my WhatsApp and I get on a call with someone, and this guy, he's not American. And this is a no hate, no shade comment, but I've talked to a lot of Southwest customer representatives and they've all been, you know, Jack from Nebraska. They've all been like Peggy in Akron, Ohio, right? I have never heard a non-American. I've never dealt with anyone at Southwest, and I've been flying this airline for decades. I'm thinking, that's a little weird, you know, as English is not the best, but again, maybe we're outsourcing. I go through the whole rigmarole and I'm like, this is the most embarrassing part. I was so wholesale bought into this being a real thing that I think he said his name was Kevin. I said, Kevin, listen, and I'm leaning in fully to the aggrieved traveler role. I'm like, Kevin, I actually had to book on another flight, on another airline. So I can't talk right now because I'm boarding a flight that's actually on time. I will call you. I will WhatsApp you when I land. Okay. The level of stupidity that I feel even recounting this to you is just, it's off the charts. I land, I'm back on solid ground. Apocalyptic mindset is gone for the moment. I'm reunited with my kids. I'm unpacking my stuff and I'm like, oh, I need to get on that call with Kevin again. He told me to buzz him on WhatsApp when I land. I WhatsApp him again. And I said, hey, Kevin, you know, we talked a couple of hours ago. I'm finally landed. Everything worked out. I'd like to discuss, you know, whatever, the travel voucher that you said. Okay, so here's what you're going to do, Sonny. You're going to go into the App Store and you're going to download an app called Remitly, like remit payment, R-E-M-I-T. And I said, oh, that's a little weird. I even asked him, this goes to show the level of desperation that I was working with. I said, Kevin, that's weird. I've dealt with Southwest before and you've only done things on email. Like what he said, it's a new system we're working with. You know, it gives instant, it'll give instant credit to you. We'll be able to wire the money to refund your ticket price right over to you. Okay. I'm still on board at this time, by the way. There's nothing in my travel fatigued military neck screaming with pain back that's coming through any of those blocks. There's nothing's coming through to tell me that this is a scam yet. So I go to my app store and I'm like, Remitly, R-E-M. Okay, I found it here. And he's like, now I want you to go in and I want you to select your country of origin. And then I want you to select the payment destination to be Nigeria. And I said, Kevin, I wasn't born yesterday, but I'm old enough to know that Southwest is not based in Nigeria. And that if it were, there would be some sort of record of you guys, you know, accepting payment for. And he's like, no, no, no. I can assure you this is what we do. And I want you to hit on the drop-down menu, enter account information. And that's when it clicked. The fog lifted, the smoke cleared. And I said, my God, I'm an elderly person who has just been completely abused by the system. I have been taken, my naivete has been taken advantage of and I am being scammed. And the fog lifted, like the clouds parted. And I was so aghast, not only at just, I mean, Kevin was delivering these lines with such a convincing energy. I have to say, I give him credit, but I was so embarrassed that I had become a subject of elderly digital abuse that I almost choked on myself. And the only words I could get out were, I can't believe you would try to do this. This is a scam, Kevin. And I can't believe you thought I would fall for it. Of course he thought I would fall for it. I fell for the whole thing for 25 minutes leading up to this point. Here's the PSA in this. Don't be over 30 and go online. The end. No, I mean, seriously though, if I was dragged into this level of deception and I go back in my DMs and I notice that the account that this Southwest Airlines had been tweeting at me from was Southwest AIIR, Southwest Air. It wasn't the real deal. So you have been warned. There's an entire community of scammers out there who are using your preference for low budget airlines to dig deep into your pockets. Do not download Remitly. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Do not talk to Kevin. My lesson has been learned. I will never travel again. As embarrassing as gratifying as that experience was, actually, and just recounting to you that story, we do have to move on. Before we wrap up, I want to call attention to some other episodes that recently came out. We had fun. Now we're getting down to business that I would love if you guys checked out. So a new episode went live about a week and a half ago now. And this is a topic that I have been wanting to cover in depth and detail for a while now. I finally tracked down an expert. It's all about American interventionism. I wanted to look back on the Russia-Ukraine conflict 2 years later. This is a real hard left turn, by the way. We went from elderly internet scamming to actual real problems in the world. But you know what? We've got range. We contain multitudes. Anyhow, go back and check out episode 288. I tracked down a man named Calvin Dark. He is a Fulbright scholar, a foreign affairs expert. He's based out of Washington, D.C. And we talk all about basically if America needs to keep out of everyone's business. So the dominant perspective right now in a lot of younger Americans is that we just need to keep our hands in our own pockets. We don't need to be the world's policeman. Generationally speaking, I think you'll find a lot of older people who still believe that democracy is a system worth spreading and helping other countries germinate. And in the younger set, you'll find a lot of people who say we got to fix our own problems first. So I wanted to get to the heart of this issue. Calvin does an amazing job of both speaking to the positives and the negatives, being the quote unquote world's policeman. And we talk about American interventionism in the context of both Russia and Ukraine 2 years after that war started, the sort of troubling axis of power that's starting to develop between Russia and China and other entities in that part of the world. And we also related back to what's happening in the Middle East. I am still tracking this story every single day. I am still following with great interest what is happening or not happening as it involves a ceasefire. Sorry, my chair is squeaking here. So anyway, we talk about it in that context too. And listen, guys, here's the thing. And I hope you're on board for this stuff because I really, really believe that all of us need to have a working knowledge of what's happening in the world. And a working knowledge, not through TikTok. I love TikTok. I love Instagram. I love social media and how it connects us. However, it is more vital than ever that we know just the basics. That's all. We're not going to quiz you at the end of this, but just to know what's happening in the world. So you're going to notice on the feed, I'm going to continue to interweave and intersperse some of these more serious discussions because I want you to show up to the dinner party with an informed opinion. I want you to understand what's happening in the world so that when you make decisions at, you know, the voting booth, or when you decide who to even support in local elections, or how to show up in conversation with people in your life, I want you to do so with information. So you're going to notice the dorky, nerdy, but still insanely interesting topics woven throughout the podcast feed. Please check that out. We also talked this past week with a plastic surgeon. We're veering firmly back into superficial bitch territory with this. Again, we contain multitudes. Dr. Carolyn Chang is a San Francisco-based plastic surgeon and doctor who is giving us like a head-to-toe rundown on all the procedures that are gaining popularity and what you can expect if you want to get an eye lift, a facelift, a body contouring thing, if you want to get boobs, if you want to get your boobs out, if you want to get liposuction. We are basking in a pool of superficiality. And, you know, I thought it would be great to have an episode for people who are just maybe thinking about dipping their toe into that to have a great place to start. She gives us a basic idea of what the procedures involve and what healing time looks like. She's just one of those people who's just so down to earth and fun to talk to too. So definitely check that out. And oh gosh, I'm just scrolling through the feed here. A lot of other fun things you can check up on. I interviewed the founder of Exponent Beauty, which is a line that I've been using for the past several months. And the founder, Liz Whitman, is amazing. She gave us a promo code so you can get 20% off all of Exponent Beauty's products through June 1st of 2024. That's Sunny20. I'll link it in show notes. But check it out. The feed is on fire. Not to brag, but I'm proud. I'm proud of us and I'm proud of the range of topics that you guys seem to have interest in. And as I continue to plan out summer content, I would love to hear back from you. Please tell me who you want to hear from. I'm working on some really informative episodes when, as it relates to health and preventive care. This is a teaser because I don't like to speak things into the universe before they actually happen, but keep it locked on the feed because the next couple of weeks, I am hoping, fingers crossed, to bring you the latest on a procedure that a lot of celebrities are doing and talking about that is helping them find out things and issues with their body that might need some attention preventively. So keep it locked. We've got you covered. We are keeping you smart. We're keeping you hot and we're keeping you healthy. Really, what more could you ask for? Right? An on-time Southwest flight. That's actually what I could ask for. Anyhow, that's it for this solo episode. Guys, thank you for listening. Please rate and review. You can also rate and review in Spotify, which is a new thing. I would be grateful if you just took your little phone, scrolled down to the bottom of the We Gotta Talk feed, tapped 5 stars, leave a great review. I pour my heart and soul into this. And I believe so strongly in what we're doing here, which is informing the modern woman, the modern person who wants to know what's going on in the world and look good while they're doing it. So leave me a little love. That would make a huge difference. Check out the blog, wegottatalk.com/blog, to get the latest on what's happening outside of all these discussions. And that's it. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on We Gotta Talk with more good stuff. Bye.